Hello, everyone, and welcome to a Valentine's Day special edition of Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, to learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening right now is that I get to introduce you to our guest today, or I should say, reintroduce you, as she's returning to us now for the third time. She is the Home Interiors Director for the trend forecasting agency Fashion Snoops. With a passion for trend psychology, technology, and design, she has branched across fashion into home interiors through her development in trend forecasting over the past 11 years. Working with major brands worldwide, she spends her time covering international events and analyzing key cultural influencers within the home and interiors market to produce both macro and micro projections. Every day is filled with helping make the world more beautiful. J. Anna Mize, welcome back to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you. Hi, guys. How are you?
Ooh, we are so happy to have you back, and on a special day like today, no less. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day.
I hope your mailbox was full of red hearts today.
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, we hope so. Well, let's talk then about, love and home and all sorts of cool things. What does it look like? Yeah.
Love is such an interesting topic these days because, you know, finding love has changed so drastically in the past 5 years, right?
I mean,
there is an app for everything. You basically, people no longer want to go meet in a bar. They'd rather meet you online. So I feel like the struggle is real sometimes for single girls or single guys out there. You know, you really are having to do a lot of searching and texting and talking before you actually meet someone face to face. So the idea of finding love and falling in love has a really different perspective than it ever has before. When it comes to Valentine's Day, it's funny because we were talking in my office about this a lot this week, obviously, since it's Valentine's. And we were discussing, like, giving is really hard these days. You know, it really takes knowing someone and feeling that person to feel like, you know, your gift is received well. Forever, it was like this hallmark of effect where you would give like a card and roses and chocolates, but, you know, is it really, don't you give that to your girlfriend every time something happens or every time you want to say I love you now versus just on one specific day of the year? So I think there's really like an authenticity conversation coming into play and, you know, really understanding that person and being like, I see you, I appreciate you. So it might not have to really mean that it's this huge or this traditional gift. It could be big, it could be little, but I think the more authentic and appreciative you are, how well you know that person, that's the true, that really is like the best way to give a gift these days. What do you think?
I don't disagree with you at all, but it does seem like it raises the bar on the gift giver, and you have to really get those awareness tentacles out there and be paying attention and watching and really into, as you should be, the person, though, that you're giving a gift to. It ups the ante a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's funny because there is an author named David White, and he wrote an article back in December based on giving. And I just want to kind of like give a little quote to what he said because it made so much sense. And he said, to give appropriately always involves a tiny act of courage, a step of coming to meet, of saying, I see you and appreciate you. I'm also making an explicit promise for the future. Little wonder then that the holiday giving that is none of these, that is automatic, chore-based, walking around the mall-based, exhausts us. it debilitates us. In the end, it's quite often subtly insulting to the person who we eventually give the item to. But it does feel like a lot of these traditional, especially things like Valentine's Day, do become like you get nerve-wracked and exhausted. And, you know, we're living in a time where women really feel empowered and can buy everything at the drop of a hat. So I think the real key to gift giving these days is this true authenticity of like understanding your mate or exploring things together, as opposed to actually giving like a physical gift, maybe just more of like an experience, is really nice as well.
I've talked to a number of people who are doing that, you know, giving jointly. There's no surprise involved, but they make the commitment that they're doing a trip, they're doing an excursion, they are going to a concert, some event, as opposed to the box of chocolates and the half dozen roses, which got old 2 decades ago.
Exactly. And I really think it speaks a lot to who people are today. You know, we're really becoming a society that is kind of stepping away from a lot of overconsumption. You know, people have everything. You have access to Amazon. You can order everything in a minute and it's at your house in 2 days. And so the idea of being able to go and do and play with the person that you love versus, you know, just having like a little keepsake. I'm sure the keepsake is still valuable to some extent, but, you know, I think the experience and really feeling like you're building like a story and a life together is really tops the list.
Now, an interesting question just bubbled up. Is this consistent across the generations?
Oh, for sure.
It is. Okay.
I think for sure. I think definitely the baby boomer generation, you know, they're the ones that are even more, you know, just kind of tired of the same old thing. You know what I mean? I'm sure they feel like their lives are so busy. Like, oh my gosh, when am I going to ever be able to take a chance and step back? But at the same time, I feel like especially women of the baby boomer generation are really starting to feel like their power. You know, we just came out with a macro trend that was called Woman Unleashed. And, you know, we are actually seeing this a lot with magazines, fashion magazines, especially like British Vogue. They came out with an issue last November that was all about real women and pushing academic women, business women, instead of these models and fashion girls, it girls, whatever. And a lot of the women were wearing like no makeup, and they were just their true authentic self. So I really feel like we're coming into a movement, especially for baby boomers, where they really feel like they have the power to be authentic. You know, they have the power to not feel like they should have to wear makeup every day or be this like Susie housemaker, you know, like similar to their moms or, sure, you know, how they were raised. And then you have the millennial generation or Gen X that are coming up that they're way more free spirited and outspoken about, there's no way that I want this excess amount of stuff. I definitely want more experiences and to be able to travel and go and do something. They value that way more over actual consumption of items.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm glad to hear that it's being experienced across the generations. That's reassuring. Maybe there's hope for big change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think that the actual tradition of Valentine's Day is going to go anywhere. But at the same time, I think it's going to change from this, you know, Hallmark cookie cutter, roses, flowers, teddy bear type of thing to actually being something where brands or retailers are actually able to be a little bit more eclectic and a little bit more exploratory and have a broader breadth of product in their stores that might fit the need. You know, you can get kind of like kitsch with beauty items all the way down to, you know, cookware to shoes, etc. Just knowing what that person really likes.
And being able to tell a story around that item that has some connection with the event. Yeah.
And it's hard because it's like people are, like I said earlier, people are able to buy things so much easier. So for the woman buying something for the man, I mean, maybe you can answer this, but if men are already able to buy everything for themselves so easily, what do you get them, right?
Yeah. It's the flip side is pretty much the same these days. I mean, buying for women is very difficult because, you know, whatever the online resource is, they get their notices every morning and they could be shopping and picking things up. It's challenging.
Really, oh, and you have a new a new something every single day as well,
right?
Because you have the beauty of Instagram where it's like I'm seeing a different brand every day that I'm like loving. So my wish list just gets to be insane. And then you're just like, okay, well, is this t-shirt really more valuable than this necklace? Does any of it really matter?
Does any of it mean anything?
Exactly.
And I think that goes back to your earlier comments on authenticity.
Exactly.
For the person that I'm giving this to, what is the connection? What is the story that I'm telling or sharing by making this gift item selection?
Yeah, we're really seeing, you know, consumers really needing and wanting that story, whether it's from a retail landscape or a brand landscape. You know, their loyalty really lies with the connection to that story. So, I mean, and we can thank things like Instagram and social media presence for being able to build that and create that desire, you know. And it's just interesting because it's really understanding your partner and really what they love to do and what you guys love to do together.
Exactly. I want to go back to something you just touched on, you know, speaking of social media, is social media able to convey the entire story, or do they just set the stage for the story to be told, do you think?
You know, I don't ever know if a story is ever really told, like completely from point A to point B, as many novelists will tell you, you know, so much of it gets edited out in the process. But I will definitely say that I feel like things like Instagram and especially your own personal website as a brand, you can really develop your story like well enough for the consumer to really feel it. And it's really about, again, going back to the authenticity conversation and the, you know, really getting into the emotional capacity that people have today that makes it relatable. You know, video is one of the best ways to convey emotions these days. Forever, it was like the picture that was online. And even at Fashion Snoops, we are integrating more and more video into everything because it really just explains the mood and the feel without you having to say that much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We are becoming a world of visual learners. So I definitely think that something like Instagram can completely convey the story well.
Point well taken. Thank you.
I think so. So should we get into a little bit of what we do see happening for Valentine's Day 2017?
I would love that. Yes, I've got my notepad ready.
Well, one of my favorite stories that we talked about is one that we call Dark Beauty. We are really starting to see, I'm sure you guys have all started to see a lot of TV shows pop up about Queen Victoria and the Victorian era. And we were seeing a lot of this opulence and luxury come into play, but we're seeing it in a much darker tone than ever before. Like you never traditionally think, you know, black and red for Valentine's Day, but we are starting to see it. And we're seeing multiple shades of really beautiful reds from your deep, deep burnt burgundies all the way to your really crisp crimsons, and then they're being paired with black and white, so it's like a nice contrast, but still all in this very beautiful Victorian scene. And then we're also seeing some of really brassy golds and silvers come into play, which is fun. Within this, you know, it's really all about the enchantment and the mystery of this story, and that all is underlined by this presence of soft luxury and ornate Victorian, kind of almost gothic era. We're seeing very dark table settings that have really bold pops of red through florals or either napkin accents. We're also seeing a lot of Victorian dishware, so things that are super ornate or things that are also very lace inspired. We're also seeing an influx of red velvet among decor or opulent mirrors. We're also seeing anatomy come into play. So whereas your traditional, like instead of your traditional heart shapes, you're actually seeing like the anatomy of a heart, which is kind of fun. And it was starting to pop up a little bit last year, especially among like greeting cards or Valentine's Day cards, etc. But now we're starting to see it appear in more actual interior based things. And then, you know, we're also starting to see, which is kind of scary, but a little bit of a skull come into this, along with like darker hearts and, again, the Victorian press. And then my other favorite story that we did was one, and I spoke about this a little bit in my past two podcasts with you, James, is one, it's really all about this calm, minimalist approach. You know, we're really focusing a lot about this rugged California coastline and this inherent beauty of natural materials. So you're getting a lot of your like beautiful navies mixed with your sandy browns. Instead of having like a traditional red, you're actually getting like a very corally pink mixed with turquoise and sky blues. And then always your accent color is white for the season, which is quite a surprise, right?
Yeah, that's interesting.
So think about like rustic wood materials mixed with like really beautiful handmade clay pots. Everything's very earthy driven, which is super nice. We call this a simple beauty story. So it's all about this, again, soft luxury, calm minimalism, and feeling, you know, bringing the nature indoors. Among tableware, we're really seeing a very minimalist scene. We see nautical-inspired dishware as well as gold-rimmed plates. We're also seeing a lot of transparency among glasswares, like clear transparencies.
Okay.
Natural woods are coming into play. We're also seeing a lot of heart-shaped sea glass, which we find to be a fun accent for Valentine's Day. And everything just has a very tranquil setting. So it's actually a complete opposite of the story we were just talking about.
I was just thinking that those two could not be
further
apart.
Right? But it's almost like you have the dark and light to the scenario. So you have something that's really dark and ornate, but still insane, very beautiful.
Right.
And you have something that's very clean and minimalist and light and airy, but, you know, has a beauty about it in its own way. You know, and among giftware, things like stationery and packaging, we're really seeing wood, burlap, and also a lot of hand-painted items really come into play. We're starting to see the wooden postcards really everywhere, the wooden Valentine's Day cards, which is always fun. We're also seeing a lot of illustrated nautical prints, paper hearts, as well as like things like handwritten letters, which really speaks to the authenticity that we were talking about earlier. So yeah, those are our two stories
wow.
that we really feel like are coming forward the strongest for 2017.
It's so interesting that the first story that you were sharing, the red and the black, mm-hmm. I was having a conversation earlier today, and actually an extensive conversation about the Alexander McQueen's Savage Beauty? Exhibition.
I loved that one.
Just exploring the details, the feathers, the skulls, all of those, mm-hmm. Those amazing motifs that he used. And suddenly that brought that to my recollection.
Yeah, he's so sorely missed in the industry
sure.
I loved him. But it was funny because he was probably one of the first designers that actually, well, not one of the first. I mean, we did have the whole punk movement and everything, but he really made the whole idea of what was considered gothic beautiful again, which
right.
was, you know, very inspiring to a lot of us who, you know, felt like we were living in a very cookie cutter, pretty in pink world for a while.
Yeah, he shook that up pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, didn't he?
And he still is. I mean,
yeah.
The brand is still shaking things
Sarah
up.
Sarah Burton has really taken his vision even into the next heights of you know, what was capable. She really
right.
branded it into something that's, you know, even more accessible and affordable, and you know, it has a greater breadth than it did when he was alive. So,
and it still makes fresh and new statements as each collection evolves.
It's so stunning.
Yeah, it really
the
is.
Craftsmanship alone.
No, that's breathtaking. So I'm wrapping my head around what I need to be doing for gift giving for Valentine's Day, and trying to plug into one or both of these color stories that you've just told me about. And I'm thinking that I've already touched base in the red and black one. Didn't
yeah.
even realize I was doing it. How interesting is that?
And it's funny because the other one, the calm minimalist story, the simple beauty story, is the colors are the traditional reds and whites and are still there, but we've tweaked them. So instead of being your true red, it's more of like a coral red, and we've paired it with things like turquoise or navy, which as everyone knows is the color. You know, so It's a very, navy's a very strong color in interiors right now. So it kind of is more of a modern approach to Valentine's Day, which I find fun.
It really is. Yeah. It has me thinking of, like Valentine's Day in Santa Fe or mm-hmm. Rancho Mirage or something like that.
Yeah. And it's really all about going outdoors or even going to the beach, yeah. finding those things, you know what I mean, in nature and mm-hmm. bringing them home and decorating your table with them in a very lovey approach.
I love the heart-shaped sea glass pieces.
Oh, same.
I've got friends that collect those pieces, and they're really magnificent.
Yeah, they really are.
Very, very special.
For sure.
So how far do you see these stories sort of reverberating beyond beyond Valentine's Day? Are we going to see these touching in some of the spring that we've got coming ahead?
For sure. I mean, the minimalist story keeps going. And then we start seeing the dark story kind of get a little bit lighter, but you still have that same enchantment feature and you still have the same Victorian era, but it gets a little bit more pretty and light for summer.
Nice. Well, my dear,
yes,
some really great things for us to think about as we're doing our shopping for those that we love. We were laughing before we came on the air about answering the question of love. I don't think we have to do that today.
No, thank goodness, right?
Thank goodness, exactly.
But it is an interesting conversation.
Well, it's a fascinating conversation. It really is. You know, what does love mean for men? What does love mean
for women? Everything is so fluid these days, and there's an app for everything, and, you know, everyone has a different way of or a different idea of approaching it. But when you have to do everything behind a screen, you know, what is the emotional capacity of finding love behind a screen, right?
Okay, so you've asked the question, but I'm going to turn it around on you.
Sure.
What is the emotional capacity of finding love behind a screen?
It's funny, one of our 2019 macro trends that we just forecasted was called emotional capacity. And it's really talking about the technology distraction. And, you know, as we develop as people, we are starting to see that consumers are really needing to connect through real human emotion. And so self-growth, spiritual practices, and like this personal exploration of their self is starting to become more and more a priority. However, there is a ton of apps and things that are being launched to help do this. So like at what level do you get off the app and then get into real life, right?
Right, right.
You know, which is, I mean, when it comes to love and finding love, then, I mean, I am one that does not get on the apps. However, a ton of my friends do, and it's like a whole realm of what things that I'm just not ready emotionally for, I'm convinced.
Well, I don't want to get too personal, but I was just going to ask you to compare your experience with their experience. Do you see parallel experiences, or are they really night and day?
What do you mean? Like when I'm actually, like me going out to meet people in person versus them.
You were just out socially. I mean, do you actually?
And it's gotten a lot harder. I will tell you that. It's like literally when you're trying to go and talk to someone in person, because people are so much more comfortable behind a screen now, it's almost like you have like a fifth wall to break, you know, and me being out there and being adventurous, like I don't really have much of a problem, but it's like very hard to get other people to bring their wall down versus when you're on an app, or when I used to do online dating on apps, I would talk to the person and then you would just get disinterested like very quickly and then move on. And, you know, there was like a 1 in 100% chance, 1 in 100%, I mean, 1 in 100 times speaking to someone where you would actually go on a date with them. And then when you did, it was like kind of awkward, like... So there's like a different realm. It's a different time of, you know, meeting someone and getting out there, and you really have to get out of your own comfort zone and understand that, you know, you have to do a lot of work outside of the app for sure.
Well, and I think that's true if you're not in the world of apps. Sure. As you've already pointed out, it takes a lot to get somebody to bring that fifth wall down.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's, you know, doing something unexpected. Sometimes I just want to throw things, but that doesn't look very good if I'm looking for a date.
Yeah. Well, you know, I feel like also the, you know, once upon a time it would be you went to, I guess, said bar, or you went out for dinner, or whatever, and you met someone, you'd become friends, right?
Right.
Today it's like you're like lovers immediately for some reason in your head, even if you've never been like physical or anything like that, versus like you actually spending the time to get to know one another, like on a friend level before letting anything build. I feel like there's just a different, millennials are weird. They've got a different role and way of dealing with dating and love and what they think. And not to get too heavy, but, you know, just speaking to a lot of them in different capacities of friend groups, you know, they're very open with having one person and then not liking them in a minute and then going on to someone else very quickly, which right. I'm pretty old school. I don't roll that way. So it's just interesting.
Is it a matter of boredom on their part, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's because I live in New York, honestly. So, you know, a lot of times you would feel like you went on a date with somebody and you'd like cough the wrong direction and they would be talking to the girl next to them type of situations because, you know, the ratio is like something like 5 girls to 1 guy. However, I just think that it's more fluid than it's ever been before. You know, the idea of love is more fluid. The idea that you can, you know, some people don't like to be monogamous with one person. You know, they tend to be more exploratory today or more open about being exploratory than ever before. It used to be very quiet or right. a very quiet conversation. So,
well, it's a big topic, that's for sure.
Big topic.
we're not going to solve it all today, but we have touched on some really amazing trends that we are seeing around the Valentine holiday and carrying us on into spring. And we want to thank our guest, Jay Annamize, for bringing that to us again. This is a fun series we've begun. We look forward to having you back next month to do the same thing.
Yes, sounds great.
Wonderful. We want to thank our subscribers for tuning in to the show today. None of this would mean anything if it weren't for you. So thanks for tuning in. Remember to go to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to Jay's website, where you can follow all of the amazing things that Fashion Snoops are doing around the world. While you're there on our site, click a few buttons. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and maybe most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.